And then over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Nehemiah, and we've been looking at a series of studies around ministry and the work of God. And we've seen over the last 2 weeks about looking at the vision and looking at the call of God. And before we move on with that, in the going through the rest of the chapters, I just want to go back over the foundation that's been laid and just go back through these two chapters tonight. But this time, rather than just looking at the chapters and looking at how Nehemiah handled this the call of God that was on his life, I want us to look at some key characteristics of ministers. Now, this study has been prepared particularly with ministers in mind, those that are wanting to serve God. But it also proved beneficial and helpful to anybody that's looking or desirous to work for God, whether it's one of the fivefold ministry gifts or whether it's just serving God through their giftings and talents in the framework of the local church. Maybe even if it's you just want to be an effective worker for God, perhaps through your own personal witness in reaching your family, in reaching those you work with, those you talk to. So I think you'll find there's some beneficial things in tonight's study. Now there's actually 8 points that I've brought out of these two chapters. And whether we cover them all or not, I don't know, but we'll see. I'll give you the...
What are you reading from?
Nehemiah chapter 1. If we run out of time, I only want to look at each one briefly, so if we get near to the end of the time, and I'll run through the things. Now, I may not have picked the best headings for them. I'm looking over this again this afternoon and thinking, well, are they really the best words to use? But I really was short of any inspiration when it came to words. But I think what I've picked, you'll see that it fits the characteristics that ministers have. So we're going to look at the first one is in chapter 1, verse 2. And this is where Hannah and I, one of Nehemiah's brethren, it says here, one of my brethren came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. One of the key characteristics that ministers have, and actually anybody that wants to serve God, wants to work for God, is they've got to have a love of people. They've got to be people. Nehemiah here says that he asked his brother, or he asked this man, Hanani, he asked them concerning the Jews, concerning his people. And a genuine love and concern for people is one of the key characteristics of any minister or any worker for God. You know, a concern for the lost, a concern for the world, a concern for the church. You know, this love that we have for people, this is the birthing pool of ministry. In actual fact, this is God's heart. You know, God so loved the world, Scripture says, that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world. He loved people. He didn't die for the planet. He didn't die for the trees and the flowers. He died for people. And that's the reason Jesus came. He came for... And that's God's heart. God's heart has always been for people. He's not interested in buildings. We're interested in buildings. We make them fine and beautiful. And, you know, it's often said, you know, the church is not the building, however nice, however... ornate it might be, however nice the stained glass is in these cathedrals and things. You know, we're meeting in a classroom tonight. in this community says to people, God is for people, not for necessarily for buildings. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't want us to have buildings. Minister any worker for God. So if you want to work for God, it's got to be about people. Actually, in fact, the word minister means someone that serves. And you have to the only thing you serve is people. You're serving one another. A minister must serve other people. Yeah, we're serving God, but we serve people. We minister to people. It's not about having a career. Now, I know a lot of people look at, and sad to say, you could look around the church and look around religious circles and you'll see there's a lot of people in it because it's perhaps a career choice they make. But it's nothing to do with job, it's got nothing to do with a career. You know, it's about serving God, and God's heart is for people. So we must have a genuine love for people. And one thing you'll find that when you've got a genuine love for people, it will drive you to get down on your knees and pray. And that's what Nehemiah did. You know, his concern for his fellow people, his fellow man, the Jews, took him to his knees. And we read from verse 4 to 11, Nehemiah's prayer that he prayed. And after he'd heard the news, it says, verse 4 says, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. See, our actions, if we want to serve God, our actions will stem from our earnest prayer for those who we want to serve. You know, one of the things I found is that when I've really got down and earnestly prayed, I haven't done it for a little while now. I haven't prayed for a little while, but I did spend a little bit of time, particularly at the end of last year. I haven't done it so much recently, but where I get the map of the world and spread it out on the living room floor and just get down on my knees with the map in front of me and just pray. Pray for the world. You know, God began to speak to me about certain places on the map, and you know, I'd look at that place on the map and lay my hands on it and pray. You know, and our actions stem for that earnest type of prayer. When we're praying, perhaps praying for the people on our side, praying for the people down our street, praying for the people that we work with. You know, the way we react to that, it's born out of that prayer time. And that's what we said last week. You know, any ministry is birthed in prayer. Our actions will stem from our praying. So prayer is another one of the characteristics of a minister or of a Christian worker. They've got to be people that pray. People that seek God. I think we touched on it last week. Jesus told us to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, we must pray for the world. You know, we're not praying don't misunderstand, we're not necessarily praying that the church has all the finery and all the nice things. We should be praying for people. It's people that matter to God. And in actual fact, if you look at Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, you'll see Isaiah's response is the correct response to when we're praying that type of prayer. You know, when we're praying for perhaps the people that we mix with, the people that we work with, the people that we live amongst, the people that we rub shoulders with or school with, we'll start praying for them like that. You'll soon find that God will start putting things on your heart, and the correct response is, here am I, Lord, send me. That's Isaiah's response. Here am I, send me. Because what we do will come from that, will stem from that prayer time. Then if we go to verse 6, so I'm not going to be brief on each of these ones, but we can consider them at home. The first characteristic, I'm not saying these are all of them, this is just the ones I've picked. Nehemiah is part of his prayer, and he's saying here, he says, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray for you now day and night for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my critics of ministers is that they live holy lives. Repentance of sin and holiness of living is vital for any ministry. Why? Because I'm not saying that we never sin, or you never make a mistake. When we talk about holy living, we talk about that most of the time, you know, we're living according to God's plan, but we're living right, we're upright, we're honest, we're not prone to giving in to different types of sin. If we do, that we confess our sins, as Nehemiah here prays, that now we confess the sins of the children of Israel. And we come, we say sorry, we keep short accounts with God. You know, there is a right way of living. Because if we're not living right, then that's going to harm our testimony. If we're trying to win people, and they look at our lives and say, what sort of a person is he? He's telling us to live one way and do one thing, and he's living the complete opposite. You know, it will affect, it will harm our ministry. And anything that we want to do, any testimony for God, will be detrimental to it if we're not living holy lives. So that is another character. We've got to be people that live holy lives. You know, confessing our sins. And he acknowledges, he says, both my father's house and I have sinned. You know, we've sinned. We've come short. And we are, what it is repenting it. You know, he's saying sorry. Because God's already beginning to speak to Nehemiah about what he's going to do. I think it was Isaiah as well, wasn't it? Just before he says, look, here I am, Lord, send me. He says, I'm unclean, I'm undone, you know, woe is me. And God touches his lips, purges him. You know, ministers forgiveness to him. Because he knows he needs a man or a woman that's living right. Then moving on to number four. 4:8 is Nehemiah 1:8. And he says here, remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. Here is Nehemiah's bringing into remembrance the word of God. He's recalling the word of God. He's recalling the promise of God. You know, we need to be, or ministers need to be, or any worker for God needs to be, people of the word. People that give God's word first place in their lives. Because God's word gives us instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that God's word is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction. You know, it's useful for all these things. You know, God's word ministers to us. It gives us our strategies. It gives us the way we should go, what we should do. God speaks to us through his word. You know, I was talking with a man the other day. And he said something about, he said somebody wasn't, well, in his words, he said this person wasn't living right, and therefore, she had a problem in her body, she had something wrong with her hand, and he says, God's judged her. He says, no, that's not God at all. God doesn't do that. God doesn't put things of that sort of thing upon people. You know, he uses his word to teach and correct. That's how God ministers. He doesn't put sickness on anybody. He doesn't put any disease on. You know, he uses it. So it's God's word that corrects us. It's God's word that guides us. It's God's word that leads us. So we must be people of the word of God. You know, God's word will direct our every step. You know, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, the psalmist could say. That's my word. And that's what Nehemiah is doing here. He's putting God in remembrance of his word. He says, look, God, remember the word that you spoke. You know, God will know that we know his word. And when we start to put him in remembrance like that. And there's an account in the New Testament where some messengers to Jesus. And his question was like this. He said to his messengers, he said, are you the coming one? Or should we look for another? Are you the one that... And it appears in the scriptures, if you look at it, that Jesus didn't answer these two men that went to... what came to him from John. Because it says that very hour, he healed the sick. You know, he cast out demons. He opened the eyes of the blind. He did all this. He ministered to people. And then he turned to these two men and he says, you go back and tell John the things you've seen and heard. Well, he's not really answered their question. Well, it didn't appear to be that he's answered their question. But if you actually look at the Old Testament scriptures, John used to say of himself that he was the one, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. And if you look through it, if he knew that scripture, which was what his calling was based upon, he would have known the scripture which says that in the days that this Jesus was coming, in the days of the Messiah, that the blind would see, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear. And these people would, so really Jesus was saying, look, he said, John, go back to the word of God. He says, you know the word of God, you know what God, am I the coming one? Well, that's what the word says. And he pointed John back to the word of God. You might think, looking at the account in the scriptures, that Jesus just ignored the two men and didn't answer the question. But Jesus did answer the question, but he answered it with his word, through his word. And that's something else we need to be as ministers. When we're saying we're people of the word, we must be proclaimers of the word as well. We're not talking about church. We're not talking about a movement. We're not talking about a different group. We're not talking about our own personal ideas, our thoughts, our values. We should be proclaimers of the word of God. Yes, the written word and the living word. We talk about Jesus. Talk about, we only proclaim what the word says. You know, you can hear it preached in pulpits. They preach politics. They preach moral values, they preach, but they should be preaching the word of God. You know, I went to a service a few years ago, one Christmas Eve, and the minister there was preaching. He preached a good, part of it was a good message, but a lot of it was spent talking about what nice things happening in society, and you know, Christmas was one. Yeah, we should be proclaiming the word of God, not nice things. Yeah, God's word is nice in places. God's word cuts in other places. But we must be people of the word of God. Then as we move on to verse 11. So the Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Here Nehemiah prays, he asks God to prosper him. Not so much financially, not talking about prospering him material or physical ways here. This is in relation to what God is showing him. Now God has shown him that he's to go back to his homeland, to Jerusalem, and do this work. So what he's asking God, he's offering himself here as available to God. And that's another characteristic of any minister or any work of God, their availability. If we don't make ourselves available for God to use, we are unusable. God cannot use somebody that's not available. One thing you'll find with God, he will not override our will. If we choose not to do something, he won't override that and make us do it. And that's the way the devil works. But that's not the way God is. If we say no, then God will respect that. That's why he's given us that free choice. He doesn't force people to believe in him. He runs with their decision. So if we're not willing or we're not available, God will not use us. So we've got to be available to him. We've got to make ourselves available. And availability is another key characteristic. Then there's just a couple of more. Here's an interesting one here. It says it came to pass in the month of Nisan, the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I have never been sad in his presence before. The word sad in this verse literally means, yes, it means unhappiness, but it's a bit more than just being unhappy. It's a little bit more than just being sad at something that's happened. You know, this word literally means to be heavy of heart or to be in distress. Other translations of it talk about being, having an evil face, not evil in the sense of sort of being really bad and wicked, but having a bad face or an angry face. Yes, sir. Well, one thing you'll find that, the heading I've given this, or the characteristic I've given for this one here, is the word uncomfortable. And there's two things I want us to think about with uncomfortable. Those who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or they believe they should be doing, will be very uncomfortable. They will get very heavy-hearted, become very frustrated. You know, almost to the point where they get angry and so wound up over little things because they know they're not doing right. You know, I remember some time ago, didn't matter what I did, I got to the point where everything I did, I just wasn't satisfied with it. I wasn't happy in the work I was doing. And the more I saw God about it, the more I realized I wasn't in the right place, wasn't where I should be. And that made the decision very easy for me to leave my work at that place and then go into the place I'm in now. So I got very uncomfortable. And that's the feeling a lot of people get if they're not doing what God wants them to do. Uncomfortable. But something else about ministers, and the characteristic of a minister is that they will be uncomfortable, not because they're necessarily doing the wrong thing, but ministry will take us out of our comfort zone. It will take us into places that we don't feel comfortable. We feel out of our depth. We don't feel like we think this doesn't feel right. But very often it is, because it brings us to the place where we get so dependent on God, where we're not in our comfort zone. In us, really where Nehemiah was, he wasn't in the place where he should have been. He was in the king's court and he should have been in Jerusalem. And that was heavy on his heart. So that made him uncomfortable. But then, perhaps when he weighed up the situation that was before him and what he was going to do, that left him out of his comfort zone then. He didn't quite... He wasn't really too happy with it, because it was almost like he was in a river of water and he couldn't swim. You know, you feel like you're so out of your depth and you don't really know where you are, but that brings you to depend upon God. Brings you to that place where you throw yourself on God and say, Lord, I have to depend on you. I'm totally with you. And that's a characteristic of a minister of God or a worker for God. Then the final two tonight, as we just wrap up this session. I'm not going to read all the verses, but just start reading at verse 11 through to the end of verse 18. I'll just read verse 11 because it says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. The words, "so I came," shows us that one of the characteristics of any minister is that they get stuck in. There's a time for talking, there's a time for preparing, there needs to come to an end, and there needs to come the time where you actually rise and get up and go and do what God's called you to do. You know, you've got to put it what God has put in you. Now, he says here in verse 12, he says, "I told no one what my God had put." You know, he got all this set in his mind and in his heart, and he knew what God was. But he had to get to the point where he got up and left the king's court and came to Jerusalem. And we've got to get to that point where we actually do what God has put in our hearts. We've got to get dirty hands. We've got to fulfill the ministry that God has given us. Now, whatever that ministry is, whatever that calling is, whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's singing, whether it's playing an instrument, whether it's ministering to down and outs, whether it's in business, whatever we've called to do, we've got to get to the point where we actually get up and do it. We finish with the talking, we finish with the telling everybody else, but we actually get on and do it. And that's where we've got to get to that point. You know, there's too many people in church, and you probably heard it, and you won't be the last time you hear it, you'll hear it time and time again. They keep talking up what they're going to do for God. "We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go and win the world, everybody in town's going to..." You know, they never actually get up and do what they're saying they're going to do. And they don't actually do anything. Because you've got to get stuck in. And that's one of the key characteristics of a minister. That you're actually prepared to get their hands dirty and get stuck in. Then finally, the last verse of chapter 2. It says here, this is where Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem come to Nehemiah, and they say, "Well, what do you think you're doing? You know, are you going to rebel against the king?" So Nehemiah answers them, it says in verse 20, and says to them, it says, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." The final characteristic I've got from these two chapters here is that ministers or workers for God are unshaken. You know, they're grounded in their call. They know what God has called them to do. The God of heaven himself will prosper us. They're not easily shaken in the midst of opposition. They don't give up when things get tough. You know, they last the course. They're going to stay their time. You know, we've had many opportunities to give up and quit. You think, well, sometimes we've had meetings where there's just been two of us or three of us. You think, well, is it really worth it? You know, why don't we just pack up and... But no, we keep on going because we know what God has called us to do. You know, when you're out, perhaps you're out on the street or something, and perhaps only one of you or two of you turn up, and you think, well, are we really making an impact on the town? But we don't give up because we know what God's called us to do. You know, we get many opportunities. You know, Nehemiah, he faced a lot of opposition, which we're going to look at in the coming weeks. But he was grounded in his call. He knew what God had put in his heart. He knew that God had put it in his heart. He was prepared to get stuck in. He was prepared to stay the course. And he wasn't shaken. He wasn't moved. You know, I always say, he says, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build." But he said, look, but the unbeliever, he says, those that are against it, he says, "You have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." So there are eight characteristics for ministers or Christian workers. One, there's got to be a genuine love of people. Two, got to be people of prayer. Three, you've got to be people that are living holy lives. People of the Word is four. Five, we've got to make ourselves available to God, because God won't use anybody that isn't available. However much we might want to be used of God, if we're not actually available to Him, we don't actually offer ourselves to Him, God won't use us. Six, we've got to be uncomfortable, out of the comfort zone. And if we're uncomfortable because we're not doing what God wants us to do, then let's put that right. Seven, we've got to get our hands dirty and get stuck in. And then lastly, number eight, ministers are unshaken. You know, they know what God's called them to and are prepared to stay the course. So next time, I've got a few weeks off now. But next time I come back, we'll continue looking at Nehemiah into chapter 3, and start looking at what happens when he starts to build the walls. Amen.